The following is a special presentation of the CLW 83 Network. The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
June 8th, 2007. It began.
Carl, did you watch Raw on Monday?
Bits and pieces of it.
Vince McMahon acted like a complete,
jackass.
Lunatic.
Lunatic, yeah. I can't watch the show.
A show that started as the North-South Wrestling Connection would in time go through various name, host, and format changes, thus bringing us to tonight. Now, the CLW 83 Network and WrestleChat.net proudly present the 200th episode of the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Tonight, we'll have the latest wrestling news and views, a special Room 101, Seidelman vs. Block 2, for charity's sake, and a few surprises too. And now, here's the host of the North American Wrestling Connection, Nikki Hayman.
Happy 200th episode, everybody. And Jim, as always, gives me a proper introduction, but I do it anyway. This is the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. And as the man said, my name is Nikki Hayman. 200 episodes ago, we had two doofuses just talking about wrestling. Now I've got about a dozen people talking about wrestling, so we must be making some progress. So let me start with the opening panel I have here tonight. First of all, one of our longtime panelists, Mr. Josh Henniger.
Wow, 200 episodes. That's just mind-boggling.
We have our secondary statistician and another longtime member of the panel, VRM.
Kim, I came in first quote like somewhere before episode 100, I think, with the... Because I know we with the whole WrestleCraft Forum Radio Network thing we had going on until for a little bit. And then, like, basically everything's folded except here, my show, and Typho's show.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know we had you around for a long time because we still have the soundbite, you win the internet. And speaking of sound bites, we also have our legendary man, who's the only other person in Williamsware who got his own T-shirt, Brian Henniger.
Hit him with 200 bowling chairs.
Good evening.
It is an honor and a privilege to be here for the 200th show. Nikki, it's been a pleasure since March.
Thank you. And also joining us, somebody who's been here less than 10 shows, I believe, from all the way on the other side of the planet, Mr. Shane Beeman.
Good day, everyone. How's it going?
Going great.
Yeah, it's an honor being here on the 200th show. And yeah, I don't even think I've gotten past the double-digit mark here. I mean, wow. But it is indeed an honor to be here with all these great people on the 200th show, and should be a great show.
I think we'll be able to wrestle something out of this week's show. You know, as you all know, we took a holiday last week, and I wouldn't have been able to be on the show last week anyway because I was sitting in an airport somewhere. But that's neither here nor there. We had a rather unpredictable Survivor Series, and I'm only saying that because in the pick-ems I came in dead freaking last.
I was close,
but it still came out as a pretty good event. Then again, I might be slightly biased because I discovered that the CM and CM Punk might stand for Crescent Moon. Crickets, damn it! Anyway. For anybody who actually saw the show, one of the pinning attempts involved more than a handful of CM Punk's tights. So the CM also stood for Chicago Moon Punk. And if you look carefully on the fan board, you can find a GIF of this. I know none of you guys are going to go looking for it, but I did have to explore. So CM Punk did us a favor and took the belt away from Alberto Del Rio.
Olé!
Mark Henry is still having way too much fun as a champion. Jomo, unfortunately, was on his downward slide, but he knew that the door was open and he was going to be tumbling his ass out. Cena and Rock overcame the Awesome Truth. I'm wondering if that was a last-minute decision because of Truth's little situation.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, what do you think?
Well, considering Truth's whole situation, yeah, I am not surprised that this happened, though I don't think it was a last-minute thing. He was caught along because R-Truth was caught the exact same time as Heath Slater and Evan Bourne with getting busted with synthetic marijuana. So, yeah, they had this in stone for a few weeks. It was just who was going to get pinned. That was pretty much it, because the Truth set himself free for, oh, say, the next 30 days.
Which led off to a chain of events that came up in the next couple of Raws regarding Miz. Miz went ahead and put R-Truth on the shelf for his wellness vacation and was more than happy to show Jomo the door. Shane, it did, but if you didn't know this, does Miz's change in character make any sense to you?
All right, well, for those that haven't caught the past couple of Raws, Kate, Miz turned on R-Truth, and then he's gone along the lines of, well, R-Truth was holding him back. But personally, I don't understand why R-Truth got suspended. I know, you know why? He could have gone so well with this angle. I mean, first of all, R-Truth's already in the ring talking about little jimmies and stuff like that. It's like, oh, he's stoned, so he's hallucinating little jimmies. All right. It's all good. But other than that, no, but in all seriousness. And then, of course, Miz has taken out John Morrison, which you hadn't seen coming. But, yeah, it looks like they're giving R-Truth's loss is Miz's gain, in a way, because it looks like they might be pushing him to become a main event star again.
What concerns me, though, is that the way they're trying to push Miz is they're trying to push him as a psycho badass. I'm having trouble with the character design. And for a guy who's still that slight of build, comparative to most of the main eventers, with maybe the exception of Punk, it's not working for me. VRM, does it work for you?
It worked better with Orton, even if. But still, this. It seems like a lot of pay per views have, like a lot of things have been in the last couple of months with WWE, hella rushed.
Yeah,
I mean, how many storylines and builds have been rushed through these last couple of months?
I just, you know, like I said, it seemed rather sudden. You know, like I said, if I didn't know the Truth was going to be suspended or the Jomo was leaving, and if I didn't know that, I'd be a horrible wrestling correspondent. But if I didn't know this, and I'm watching this, just Miz's complete change in demeanor. Brian, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, Brian?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're asking me?
But it sounds like Shane had something to say, though.
Oh, well, I was actually just going to talk about the John Morrison incident. It looks like with John Morrison, like they're trying to play with our heads a little bit here, because for those that saw the WWE.com exclusive from Mr. John Laurinaitis, he's made it seem like, hey, the door's open for John Morrison, for him to get his head together and crap like that. But, yeah, so it looks like, I don't know, he might take some time off if TNA doesn't pull for him too hard. Who knows?
It's getting to Morrison, it's just, it is a little confusing, but if this is all a work, he's doing a hell of a job of it, because even Molina's gotten in on the act saying, hey, don't look at me. It's not my fault that he doesn't have a job anymore. Dear thou doth protesteth too much.
Anyway, well, if you want to go ahead and have my thought on it.
Go ahead.
And by the way, I want to apologize in advance. I've been battling sinuses all week, and so I'm feeling better, good enough to do the show, but I do sound like crap, which is totally my fault, but let's not get into that. As for Molina, I have one thing to say.
Okay.
Ninja, please!
Oh, is that all you have to say about that?
Yeah!
Ninja, please!
Ninja!
Waya!
Ninja!
Waya! Please!
But the thing with the whole Miz thing is, have we really forgotten that he was main eventing WrestleMania back not even a year ago? I mean, he has the ability to get over in him. We know this about him.
Yes, but can he do it with this persona is my question.
I honestly believe that he can. I think it's an abrupt change in character, but your average WWE fan is used to that since the company is apparently, with the exception of Roxina, is hot-shotting every angle they have. But I think he can get over with it. I think he can get over because maybe they can play up the angle that the pressure of being self-imposed awesome has finally gotten to him and he's just snapped emotionally.
The problem is, though, aren't we doing the exact same thing with John Cena at this point? Or at least somebody explain it to me, because his character, his change in demeanor is just as confusing.
Well, everyone knew with the whole John Cena situation that they were going to make Rock the face. Like, I'm sorry, but Rock gets more over than Cena. Everyone hates Cena, so of course they're going to be like, okay, well, we might, and there's been talk for ages about maybe turning Cena heel, so I think we might be seeing the start of it. I mean, you saw it on Piper's Pit. Roddy Piper gave him a slap and said, start telling people how you really feel, otherwise you're just going to be crap. Not that you're... Anyways, I'm getting over here, but...
Mind your smart.
I was going to say, not that you already wasn't, but yeah. But no. But yeah, we're seeing the start of Cena's very long-awaited heel turn, and I'll be interested to see how it plays out. Like, it started all right, in my opinion, so far. So, that could just be me.
You know, fingers crossed. I would like to see something good come from that, and a couple of things already, you know, speaking of hot-shotting, actually, there are a couple of good things that are coming out of this. We've seen some videos popping up. One we've already confirmed, because it's real easy to confirm, that Kane is going to be coming back very soon. The two videos have been satisfyingly creepy. And the burning mask is just awesome imagery. But I'm a Kane fan. Anybody
and I
else?
Like Kane because he's a Tennessee boy, you know, so I got to respect him.
There you go. Josh, what do you think about Kane coming back?
Well, I hope this is the last hurrah, because I would assume he's probably starting to get as broken down as Undertaker is, but I would like for him to just, you know, relax, take some time off, go do some professor work or something. I'm pretty sure he has the things under his belt to do just that. He just needs to, you know, have a good night and go bye-bye. Kind of like Taker at this point.
Well, he's not had a good... Go ahead.
Yeah, he's been there for 14 years, after all, as Kane. He's been in the WWF/E for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
That puts him in, what, about second or third amongst all active wrestlers, only behind Taker?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I think it's time for him to pretty much wrap up his career with the WWE, get and get to somewhere where he can be really comfortable. Libertarianism.
Let's see. I've got somebody else who might want to join the panel. Maybe not.
Was that a death rattle, or am I hearing things?
No, I'm not sure what that was, but it's apparently I came in the middle of the fight, so I'm just going to close the door and wait for that to settle down. The other video, and VRM, I'll ask for your input first. It begins. Now we've got two prevailing theories on who it's beginning for. And do you lean towards either one of these, Jericho or Undertaker?
Considering the Twitter activity and from one and the latter and the non-activity from the other, I'd have to say it would lean more towards. I'd have to say it leans a little bit more towards Jericho on this. I'm backtracked on that. I'm sorry, I had a long day at work today. It leans more towards Taker just for the little bit of extra, a little bit more creepier than some of the other Jericho things. Then again, all the Jericho things have either been countdown clocks or code. That said, though, It Begins didn't really begin on last Monday, because when I tried to go to the website, it did not exist at that point. When I saw it during the, I think it was during the main event match or whatever it was I was going. Yeah, I think it was the main event match. The link was didn't work. So I'm not sure if that's failed WWE or failed YouTube.
Well, it could be either one. There was the second video I had trouble finding because they changed the YouTube address. It changed to youtube.com/second 2012 with a slightly different video and with a second child added, but a lot of the same imagery and little things. The rain-soaked playground, the kid still at his desk writing with a Sharpie. We still can't see what he's writing. There was a little girl sitting in the back of the classroom. The basketball. No, it's not Batista. So, let's see if I can get something going on this other line.
Uh-huh.
Hornswoggle, get off the phone. Mr. Tyler, is that you, sir? Fine. He doesn't want to talk to us. Okay. What else
that
can I...
That just means more punch and pie for us.
That's right. I can arrange some punt. Never mind. I don't have a sound for that, so I cannot supply the punch. Let's see. Nothing. Sorry, man. What else have I got over here? Oh. Who heard about the more speculation that they might finally get rid of the spinner belt?
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Please.
Well, y'all can thank John Cena for it, because apparently he's the one that wants rid of it.
Yeah.
So, Punk, can you put that just slightly ahead of your ice cream bar crusade?
Bring back I hope they don't bring up a totally new... Can they go back to the Undisputed design?
The one that JBL and Lesnar handled?
Yeah, even,
and the one
even,
that Eddie
even
had
better,
as well.
Even better, go back to the Attitude belt.
Here's the thing, though. Remember, they're probably not going to redo the belt until they redo the logo. The logo probably will be fully out there in January. You know, the new WWE one.
The one that they've been floating around that they're going to use for the network?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Which, I didn't think it was all that ugly. It's just very... I find it just really flat.
Yeah, it is uber two-dimensional. Something that they haven't had since the WWF days of the old block lettering, before mm-hmm. they went even to the purple and gold, because that was three-dimensional.
Right. I'm not quite sold on the new logo yet. It's probably going to have to grow on me.
Yeah, finally getting a look at it now, and I'm like, meh.
That's pretty much what, you know, pretty much what I'm getting.
You know, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, are you okay? Because you dropped off for a minute.
Yeah, I don't quite know what caused that. Hold on a second. I'll close my browser. Okay. Well, the thing about the logo is, and it's really my argument with graphic design people in general, why is it that graphic design people, you give them all this money, all this freedom, all this time, and they come up with the most uninspired crap in the world?
Exactly. I've seen better stuff coming off the Photoshop threads on the fan board.
Exactly.
And I mean, if I could sit the whole panel down and give us 20 minutes, and your choice of media, could we all do better?
Considering my lack of any skills in art outside of video editing, no.
Okay, so one less person. I heard another opinion about to pop up.
As far as media, would that include construction paper and colored pencils?
I'll allow it. I'm just not sure what they're going to do with it. I mean, heck, I was going to do it in paint, so... But, well, hopefully, you know, unfortunately they've committed to it, so it's not like they're going to change it at this point, even though they were pretty quick on going from WWF to WWE, since that was a pretty easy sweep and paint in its own right.
Mm-hmm.
So, but hopefully, you know, regardless, the new belt, you know, I'm looking forward to the new belt, whether it's the Undisputed design, the traditional Attitude Era Winged Eagle belt. I think they blew an opportunity to get a new belt in there just after Money in the Bank. I thought, you know, the easiest part was just to have Del Rio come down, since he tried to cash in but couldn't, because he got his head kicked off. But he comes out with the briefcase, and he has the new belt in it, saying, don't worry about that old belt. You know, CM Punk can do whatever he wants with it. Here's our new belt. And Vince will say, thank you, I'll take that, because you're not just going to hand yourself a belt. Because we know better than to do that to people.
Oh, don't feed his ego!
Just because they did it to Triple H 10 years ago doesn't mean that anybody else is going to get that opportunity.
Me myself personally, I would, and anyone can argue this with me, but I personally like seeing Punk himself do it. I mean, he's the man about change, isn't he? I mean, why doesn't he just take the belt and destroy it or something and say, well, I'm just getting rid of this crappy title because it's been here for ages, and let's just get a get some change in this place and just bring out the new belt or the old belt.
I was half expecting him to do that after when he came back that on Monday night. I wasn't really expecting him to come out with his old music, but I was half expecting there to be warring belts, seeing it with the quote unquote traditional spinner belt,
mm-hmm.
and then Punk with a brand new or a brand new old belt.
That could have worked, but frankly, if Punk is going to be the one that's going to foment the change, I would pay WrestleMania money for a YouTube video of Punk putting the spinner belt in the refrigerator, closing the door, waiting 5 seconds, and opening it up to find a brand new belt in there. Who's with me?
I'm there.
I am.
I would definitely take that. Let's see.
Now, here's one thing.
Yeah.
The precedence has been set because Cody Rhodes recently revived the awesome vintage Intercontinental title belt.
Oh, absolutely.
With the
different colored strap, no less. I don't know if we're going to get that all the way across all the belts. Obviously, the Divas belt isn't going to go anywhere, and they just did the tag belts recently, which has been received with mixed reviews. They're not going to do anything to the world title. What's this? Ah, yes, from the chat room, the new belt's in the fridge and the ice cream bars are in the freezer.
even that would be interesting to see. CM Punk walking up to an old ice cream vendor and he'll just say to him, "Oh, hey, I've actually got one of your ice cream bars here. And with it, you get a new WWE title." I'll fucking take it. All good.
Yeah, I can see this. One of the pedal carts that Punk comes up with 50 cents. He wants to buy a Diet Pepsi. They open it up, hands him an ice cream bar and a new title. Are you listening, WWE?
La 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 la.
I'm listening.
Even if Lagana was listening, I might have a chance. I don't know.
Well, Nikki Haven, I just want to say one thing to you.
What's that?
Those ideas you have are very interesting. However, as the executive vice president in charge of talent relations, it's my job to serve the people. The people are still buying the grossly overpriced Spinner replica.
Is that so?
What? Are you sure that was still Laurinaitis and not Ultimate Warrior?
So hey Funk Man, I got an answer for you.
Shut up.
Yes, ma'am.
Speaking of somebody who should have shut up, I bet you we didn't see Brodus Clay this week because dumbass bragged that he was going to kill Jomo on Monday. He'd actually tweeted that he was going to kill Jomo, and he pulled it very quickly, but enough people saw it that I'm sure Funkman didn't like that.
You know, I've said it once, I've said it 100 times, you do not make the dynamic dude angry.
So instead of a folding chair, I think he hit Brodus Clay with a skateboard. Damn these crickets. I just suck tonight, don't I? I got to come up with some better jokes.
Like I said, I had a long day at work.
It's cool.
Yeah, so did I.
But anyway, Nikki, right. Back to the It Begins video.
Mm-hmm.
If it is Jericho, I think it's been a surprisingly clever way they did it. If you guys know anything about the Bible, the verse that the kid is reading from is from the book of the Bible where it talks about the walls of Jericho coming down.
Oh, God.
Really? I did not even know. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, Carl.
Really?
Our wonderful, benevolent webmaster, Carl Veneer. And he, someone on one of the message boards is a Bible scholar and said that you guys do realize they're talking about the fall of the walls of Jericho.
Of course, many people, many people who watch WWE are not Bible scholars, and thus they would not have any clue what the hell he's saying.
Exactly.
That's part of the clever angle, is that, you know, it's very subtle, but I think it's kind of clever.
No, please go ahead, Shane. I'm gonna try to open this link one more time, and then I have a feeling something else is gonna be happening to my board here. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, that's the thing with WWE. Like, they've played it out so smart. Like, everyone's thinking, okay, it's gonna be Jericho, but then again, because we've all seen, like, this past week or so, Jericho's actually been a bit upset with WWE because not only have they not put him in the WWE 12 game, but they've, like, been completely ignoring him altogether. So if his deal with WWE falls through, then they're like, oh, well, you know what? We can take these videos and plant it onto The Undertaker. Because then everyone's like, oh, so it's Taker that's coming back because of the little girls and everything in the background and things like that. Like, oh! So WWE's playing it pretty smart. They're keeping their cards close to their chest, so that way Jericho doesn't sign the deal. It's Taker. He does. It's Jericho.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, Tyler, are you going to talk to us or not?
Yeah.
I don't know if he is, but I'm going to go ahead and get on off so we can start rotating the panel here.
All right, Statboy, but I do appreciate you showing up for at least the start of the show.
Right.
So happy 200, man.
Thanks once again for 200, and I'll see you in 2 weeks before the Stephanie Pick'em.
You got it.
Speaking of Stephanie Pick'ems, did we award the title for Survivor Series?
Yeah, let me go ahead and get that out of the way right away, even though the three people who won, none of which are on right now. But as you all know, I'm at the very bottom of the pile because I did horribly. So, get that out of the way. But we have a dog pile of 6-point wins at the top. And our three winners... Actually, I'm sorry, one of them is here. But our three winners are Jim Williams, Jason Block, and our newbie boy, Mr. Shane Beeman.
Oh, geez, that was a bit lucky.
But yeah, actually, I think Shane, I think yours was the only. I think you're the only one who got your wild card. No, you did not.
No, that was Jim, and that's how he got into the three-way tie.
Right.
Because that happened right at the end of the show.
So.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Well, honored to be in a three-way tie with those two guys. Like, I know that with Survivor Series, it was, like, hard to pick, like, especially with the wild cards, because I was hoping for a Kane return, but obviously that's being saved for Royal Rumble time, so...
Yeah. Yep.
I have to ask what Ethan was thinking picking Eve.
I couldn't tell you. But let's have somebody else discuss their picks. Welcome to Show 200, Typho.
Hello, everybody. Happy 200th episode.
Howdy.
Let's see, how did you do, Typho? You didn't.
I was about to say, I don't remember making picks, but maybe I did.
You did not, sir.
Okay. I'm sure I would have done fabulously, though.
But, let's see.
Well, you aren't the only one getting crickets, Nikki, so it's all good.
No, I feel better now. Let's see. I got to get a little bit of bad news in today. Just a quick bit of bad news. As we discussed a couple of weeks ago, a worker from the Cincinnati area, somebody I worked with for a while, Andre Davis, a.k.a. Andre Hart, his trial went real quick. In fact, the jury is already back, and he was convicted on 14 of the 15 counts against him for not disclosing his medical condition to various partners. And the only reason it isn't 15 is number 15 was male.
Wow. That is just sad.
And Brian, you know, like I said, I've asked other men this, and I just don't understand. Gentlemen, if you're HIV positive, can't you keep it in your pants?
Apparently not in this guy's case. I mean, you'd think that would be a no-brainer. I mean, you're going to get someone sick, you know, realize your, you know, lovemaking days are far behind you, and find something else to do with your time.
So, Typho, you got any thoughts?
I mean, if if you're aware that you're HIV positive, which he did,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you gotta, somewhere in your mind, you gotta say to yourself, you know, maybe it's just not a good idea to go through with it anymore, since I'm gonna be harming everybody I come in contact with. But, I don't know, I guess that didn't go through his head, obviously.
Mm-mm. Shane, a thought?
My thoughts. Are you fucking insane?
Well said, Shane. Wow. Well said.
I mean, what the fuck, man? I mean, surely you have the right sense of mind to say, okay, if you're that, then okay, always wear protection. And, or in other cases, you've just got to use Mrs. Palmer and her five daughters. I'm sorry, but you're just going to have to do it. That's just the way it goes.
No, that's, you know, it just amazes me. So, all right, gentlemen, are you ready for a surprise for the evening?
I have been waiting on this ever since you announced it, my friend.
All righty. So, gentlemen, the following interview is scheduled for one fall with a 30-minute time limit. Introducing our guest for this evening, originally from Biloxi, Mississippi, residing in Columbus, Ohio, weighing in at none of your damn business, and fresh off of her book tour, Bitch Please. Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest tonight, Super Oprah.
Oh, hi there.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hello. Well, hi, Nikki. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I miss you. I miss you so much. Damn it, I miss you. I miss
you. Oh, well, I miss you, too. I've been doing a whole shitload of shows without you.
And how are you faring?
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So how are you gentlemen doing on this fine evening?
I'm just sitting here enjoying the camaraderie and wishing to God I knew who got me sick so I could hit him with a folding chair.
Well, all right. All righty then. All right. Well, you guys got to make sure you got to make your way back to Columbus for Girls Night Out 5. I believe I am working Sarah Del Rey again, which I did not get to work her last time since my mother had an emergency and had to go to the hospital.
Mm.
So it should be quite interesting. So.
Now, a lot of these guys aren't from the Ohio area, but I know you have wrestled in several other states. We barely escaped West Virginia. I've dragged you up to Michigan a couple of times. You've worked with a couple other big names. I know there's a video floating around out there where you had an encounter with Ron Simmons.
This is correct. People, this is correct.
Of all people. Who what other big names you worked with besides me?
Besides an infinite Nikki Haman. Let's see, I worked with Trish Smothers. I worked with Eugene Gangrel. Let's not forget the Not a Legend show when we actually got to work with, I didn't get to work on, but work with, Nikki Valvinus, Jerry King Lawler, Sonny, who am I missing? Shima Zion, I worked with him before, you know, he's an awesome worker, you know, TNA Zima Ion.
Yes, oh, man, somebody you actively pursued, I'm sorry, I shouldn't talk about that on the show.
Yeah, the lawsuits haven't been settled yet. We can't really discuss that.
Yeah, there's some stories with Shima Zion that, you know, I probably should keep under wraps. So, but yeah, there's a lot of big names that I work with. Oh, and the biggest name of them all, Doink the Clown. Come on, everyone loves Doink.
I have a Doink the Clown story if anyone's interested.
Please.
Okay, a couple of years ago, had to be 15 years ago, me and my dad went to an independent show here in Tennessee, run by the illustrious Terry Landell. sarcasm. Anyway, he was running a company called Tennessee Mountain Wrestling, and first the show was being held with a blizzard heading its way to Tennessee, so the show had to be cut short. Second of all, they had advertised a steel cage match, and then when they get to the arena, they realize that they can't fit the steel chair through the door. You would think they would figure these things out, but I digress. Anyway, they had the match, and one of the guys was Doink the Clown. And for some reason, Terry Landell could get on the microphone and just kept saying over and over, "Doink the Clown is an idiot."
Apparently he had the wrong Doink.
Yeah.
That reminds me, Oprah, which Doink did you work? Matt Bourne or?
No, I worked, the Doink I worked with TC. TC. He was actually a jobber in the Fed. I cannot think of his ring name in the Fed back then, but he was a jobber in the Fed, and now he took over Doink the Clown for our area.
Okay.
So, but yeah, so, Mickey, I worked this show this past weekend in West Virginia at the former state penitentiary.
Oh, so it wasn't LPW.
Course, huh?
It wasn't LPW then.
No, it was not LPW. It was LCW, Lethal Championship Wrestling, new promotion. Anyway, you know, great guy, great promoter, pays good. But another promotion I used to work for, Black Diamond Wrestling, actually, they ran a show on the same day in order to hurt LCW's attendance, which they did because they ran a free show and LCW did not. So LCW drew about 20 people, BDW drew about 200. But anyway, when their show was said and done, they actually came over to our show and tried to interrupt it.
Oh,
it was
crying out loud.
Oh, yeah, for crying out loud. Yes, yes, it was priceless. So the thing is, you know, they thought that there was a whole bunch of backyards on the show. And, you know, the champion, you know, which, by the way, he marked out totally for himself, come to the show with his strap around his shoulder, which, by the way, was a replica of the WCW title with BBW spray painted on it.
Oh, crying out loud.
And you know, said, you know, no one in the back can hold a candlestick to us. Well, I find that quite funny because when he said that, you know, myself and, you know, a couple of workers that are actually trained, you know, came out there who are big as hell, you know, they're comfortable or not. And the look on their face was priceless when they seen us walking out from behind the curtain. And Nikki, it was so funny. But oh my God, guys, we're so sorry. We didn't know you guys was here. I'm sorry. Oh my God, guys, we gotta go. Nikki, if you would have been there, I knew you would have been laughing on the ground.
I would have been standing next to you, and yes, you guys would have had to carry me to the back because I was laughing too hard.
Yeah. But it was a great show for what it was. You know what I'm saying? We had to work a little harder since, you know, the attendance is down. But, you know, the guy's great. You know, I'm working for him again in January. And on top of that, he pays very nicely.
Mm.
So it was a good weekend.
All right. Now, guys, as you guys know, I managed Super Oprah for over a year. We've worked IWA, not the Ian Rotten version.
Thank God.
Yeah, we worked SCW. We worked LPW, which I don't know if I'm allowed to talk too much about.
Yeah, I will. He's a rapist.
You want to tell them go into that show, that particular show. Tell that story.
How did you put it when we got there and the promoter got arrested? I could never get it right.
Oh, just the fact that I wanted that case. I wanted the show to end where the door flies open, out runs a guy, chick in a suit, a guy in a dress. Half the crowd, a couple of referees, the cops, and a goat.
And a midget.
And a midget. I forgot the midget.
And a midget. I always forget that. But yeah, that show was super creepy, you know, because the promoter got arrested. Apparently he's a sex offender, the promoter, which neither one of us knew anything about. So he's a sex offender, and he's not allowed to be in certain feet of kids. well, you know, he ran his show, and obviously there's going to be a lot of kids there. So as we are pulling up to the building, he is getting hauled off from the building in handcuffs, which was so funny. And I mean, it was so embarrassing. It was all over the West Virginia news, all over the Indian message board. It was funny. But as usual, me and Nikki had fun, stole the crowd, as usual. He got paid really nicely. Actually, Nikki, you got a double pay.
Was that the night I reffed? That's the same show. Are you sure? Because I thought this was the Neidhart show.
Wait a minute. It was the Neidhart show, but then you get double pay because you actually won something.
I thought that was at the Gangrel show.
You know what? Maybe it was the Gangrel show. Maybe I'm mistaken.
Well, still, it was the same promotion, and I'll go ahead and tell this story. LPW was hurting for a ref, and I ref part time, and I simply gave them my rate, and they were willing to honor it. So I Iron Man ref the entire show. Gangrel was the name on the card, and I almost got killed by him during the main event, but that's neither here nor there.
Sort of like Artie Reynolds and The Big Show.
Something like that. Afterwards, we're just chilling in the in another part of the building. The way this building's laid out is that the second floor, there's a bar. The wrestling show was actually up on the third floor. Ari and I went down to the second floor because he needed to have a beer. I can't stop him from having a beer, but I'm going to keep him from having multiple beers so I don't have to stop every 15 minutes. This particular night, there was a 50-50 going on. There was a dance or a in-house concert going on, you know, nothing fancy. But, we put in a couple of bucks. And we won, what, $30?
Yes. And on top of that, we had already got paid a certain amount of money. So you figured it out very well. Actually, did we split that or did I just have it? No, you kept it for gas stuff because you drove.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was first. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this was this night was probably the most money I had made on one show.
Yeah.
And they never used me as a referee again.
I tell you what, though, I do miss Griffin, because I've been driving my car and oh my god, gas is ridiculous.
What are the gas prices down there right now?
Oh, well, it just so happened I'm looking dead at a gas station, and the gas prices is $3.27 for regular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, my go ahead.
Here in La Follette, in Tennessee, it's $3.09, so.
Lucky.
Yes,
lucky.
Yeah, we were down to $3.07 till yesterday, and it went back up to 3.25 here.
But, you know, I am ready to release. At least a couple of days ago, I got up for $2.97.
Oh, okay. You win.
So I did luck out on that. So, well, yeah, Nikki, we do miss you, and we wish you, please, at least I want you to come back. Oh, and Ohio Hatchet Wrestling is making its return.
Sweet. You tell that whole crew I would love to be there. You know that.
I will, and, you know, I'm pretty sure they would love to use you.
Actually, that should be That should be another story we should tell. Can you want to tell the Tax and Jack story?
Which one?
Tax and Jacks, or do you want to tell about the glass panels that were for later that night for Drake Younger and J.C. Bailey?
Ooh, the glass pane match. Wow. Ooh, Jesus, dude. First off, that match was a mess. That was a fantastic match. Obviously, I don't have the balls to do it, and I would never do it. But that match was fantastic. I remember after the match, just JC and Drake Younger are just sitting there bawling and fucking yelling. And I just remember them picking glasses out of their back and pouring peroxide on it. And you literally hear the sizzling and the bubbling on it. They were so messed up.
Word.
Dude, it was so disgusting, but it was awesome at the same time. And then they went to the bathroom, and I guess when the water hit them, when it took the shower, it even hurt them even worse.
Well, yeah,
it was terrible.
Yeah, to put it in context, guys, what it was is that the main event was a 40 panes of glass death match between J.C. Bailey, God love him, God's got him, and Drake Younger. This was the goriest match that I think I have ever been on a show to watch. And
it was.
I'm, Yeah, and I've worked, because I've only been on a couple of shows with Sammy Callahan, and I think I've only been on one show with Jon Moxley, who the only two crazy bastards who would have even tried this kind of match.
Right.
And I remember when the match was over, because I couldn't stay out there. Oh my God, this match was so twisted. Guys, if you want to look for this, some of it is on YouTube. I have seen it. But after the match was over, I remember Drake coming to the back. JC stayed out there and signed autographs despite all the glass on him. We put a towel on the floor. Drake pretty much face plants. His back looks like hamburger.
Yes, it does.
We poured a half a bottle of peroxide on his back, and he screamed.
It was bad, guys. It was really terrible.
Let's see.
It was so terrible.
Hang on a second. I got one more person to come in. Line 6, who we got here?
Hi, guys.
Who am I speaking to, please?
It's Fourth.
Oh, hey, Fourth. I'm sorry. I didn't recognize your voice. Did you have a question for Super Oprah?
Not at the moment. I am actually digging the story so far.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this was all screwed up. And Oprah's right. When we sent Drake into the showers. They put the water on him. He screamed again. It was just surreal. Absolutely surreal.
Yeah, it was surreal. Just a lot of live screams and whatnot. It was bad.
I mean,
you know, she looked at it right when she said it was hamburger meat. It was hamburger meat. I mean, it was terrible. It was terrible.
Yeah, this is IWA deathmatch levels of stuff.
This was funk stuff
we're talking about here.
Yeah.
I know what I wanted to ask you, Super Oprah. Have you worked with Jimmy Juice of late? Juicy Jimmy?
I'm sorry, guys. I got to cut out for a second.
What's up?
My phone kind of cut out for a second.
Okay, no, what I was asking is that I know you worked with Juicy Jimmy at one of the JC Bailey tributes, one of the last shows we worked
together. I did. We were tag partners.
Yeah, I was managing you two against two. I cannot remember who you guys were facing. But I've run into Juicy Jimmy on, you know, through text, and he's apparently run into my friend Chelsea, the Rainbow Hairy gal that was working on the VIP.
Yes, she actually hit me up a couple of days ago, before Thanksgiving, and wanted me to do a show on Thanksgiving, but unfortunately I had to decline the offer since, you know, it was Thanksgiving, I was with my family.
So, you do work with her. She is so much fun, and she's willing. She's very willing to learn. I know she's new, but she's hilarious.
You know what? I'm gonna be honest with you. I do want to work with her in the future because, you know, she looks like a big bubble of fun.
She's awesome. I've sat with her at shows. I've watched her work at shows. I would hope that I was a partial inspiration for her getting into the business. So I want you to treat her very well for me.
I will, but you know my style of training.
I do.
You know my style. I hit first, then ass later.
Well, then there's Todd Frizzell.
My God, that kid is such an idiot. And Todd, at the moment, is actually facing charges. Todd is facing charges for assault for hitting a promoter's daughter. He just went to court for a pretrial, but they postponed it for a jury trial. And he's actually facing anger management, a mental evaluation, drug testing, 2 years for probation, and jail time.
And you guys thought even Andre Hart had it bad.
Dude, does anyone know his sentencing? I know he got 13 counts.
His sentencing is December the 21st, and I talked to...
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
You know who's been keeping me abreast of all this, Oprah?
Who is that?
Toll.
Well, you know what? I should have known.
But, the whole sentencing thing is supposed to be at the end of... just before Christmas, and I honestly think they're going to send him way the hell up the river. He ain't coming out.
Oh no, he's done. He's done for life. He's done. He's done. He's not getting out.
And it's just a shame because I was, you know, I thought it was really cool. I got to work with him a couple times in UWA. I was a little closer to his tag partner at the time, Deja Vu. Who I know.
Big Boo.
Big Boo, yeah.
Yeah.
Who, for, you know, for the rest of you guys, he's a big dude, but he's a big teddy bear. And he was.
He's awesome.
He was doing kind of a cross between a Big Daddy Viss and King Booka gimmick for a while. Is he still doing that?
No, actually he's not. I think he goes by Jerome something. I can't call it. So, but fellas, I'm sorry to cut this short in this rare interview. I'm actually hosting a bikini contest in a bar right now, and I'm actually in gear right now.
Well, no, this is perfect. I'm glad you were able to at least spend a few minutes with us.
No problem.
And thank you for sharing some stories. And, you know, I'm going to get you back on the show at some point.
Oh, dude, I'll be honest with you.
So, you know, keep your phone on and no drooling over the bikinis. Oh, yeah. And you better not have a bikini on yourself, or do you?
Unfortunately, I do have a bikini on. I do have one on right now. So, hey, last time in Lancaster when I did a bikini contest, I won. So now I'm posting it in a bikini.
Okay. Pictures.
Yeah. I'll try to get some for you, slowly.
Alrighty.
But you guys have a good night, and Nikki, bring me back on anytime you want to. I'd be glad to do it. Specifically, hopefully next time I'll be at a show and then we can do one live from an actual indie event.
Awesome. I would really appreciate that. You keep me posted.
No problem.
Super Oprah, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice to meet you, Miss Oprah.
No problem. You guys have a good night.
All right,
bye-bye.
Like I said, this is Super Oprah, and I had a lot of adventures over that year. And just, you know, I really miss working with him.
I think that's the best reason ever for leaving the show.
Did you want to go with him?
Sorry, I had to go host a bikini contest while wearing a bikini. Doesn't get any better than that.
No, it don't.
And this is the kind of Merry Misadventures I get to enjoy when I'm working with Super Oprah. A story we didn't get to, and I need to tell this, we were in Michigan working for VIP Wrestling. This was either the first or second show we had worked up there. Super Oprah was facing some other loudmouth, and he kept arguing every broken pinfall. And after two or three of these, he finally really got in the referee's face, and the referee looked him square in the eye and said, "He got your shoulder up." Said it with a straight face. I was quite proud of him. And then the problem was that half the wrestlers were hiding in the concession stand, and all of us were sitting there holding our heads or holding our hands over our mouths because we don't want to start laughing and distract from the match because everybody was having so much fun out there. But he got a shoulder up.
Wow.
I guess the anonymous GM had to be on the show, too.
May I have your attention, please?
Wouldn't be a 200th episode without him.
I have just received an email from the anonymous general manager on my Nintendo 3DS.
Let me see that. Let's see. And I quote, "Happy 200 episodes, everybody. I'm also quite honored that you have allowed me to come on the show since I have unfortunately lost my position on Monday Night Raw. I hope that I continue to be welcome here. And if not, I'm sure Nikki will tell you that I'm going to say whether you like it. Stop that! Next page. Even though this is our 200th episode, we still have a little bit of shilling to do. So, gentlemen, sit back, take a drink, fix your Super Oprah in a bikini, and enjoy some commercials.
Okay, I hope that gets a baby oil off when we get back.
Do you want to hear yourself a 42? Fourth, are you trying to earn yourself a pony kick that fast?
Hey, I just wanted that humorous moment.
No. He's gonna have to work a lot harder than that to get pony kicked.
Some of us do have standards.
So, you know, let me think about it through the commercials. You guys take a minute, sit back and relax. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Part 2 of the North American Wrestling Connection presented by WrestleChat.net, Episode 200 Special, will be back after these messages on the CLW83 Network. Tune in.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
When Jason Block says it.
And I'm going to predict this right now. The Peyton Manning signing is a bust. Peyton Manning is a lot more hurt than they are letting on, and I think he's going to be out for most of this season somehow. I mean, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Tiger Woods before he, you know, went out for knee surgery for a year. You know, because he's like, oh, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, no, I'm not.
Take it to the pay winder. The BS Big Show on the CLW83 Network. Tune in.
Williamswear is now a part of the CLW83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com. Click the CLW83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
Entertainment news, exclusive interviews, thought-provoking discussion on pop culture and reality TV. Listen live every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, to Pop to Reality, where pop culture meets reality TV. Hosted by Jeff Weiss and Mark Roberts. Pop to Reality on Blog Talk Radio.
This is Daniela Martin, and you're listening to the CLW83 Network.
There's a fly in my soup.
And we're back. Let me get everybody's mic turned on. But right now, I've got a crowded ass room. But I will welcome some of our newcomers in here tonight. First, our gentleman of the soundboard, Mr. Jim Williams.
I feel like I'm at the ocean.
And our man sitting on the Big Apple, Mr. Jason Block.
It is an honor and privilege to be here on this 200th episode.
Let's see, our CLW83 Chief High Muckamuck, Mr. Carl Chenier.
What did he say? In a bag of chips.
Yes.
And former NAWC host and somebody who was here from the beginning along with Carl, Mr. Robert Q. Seidelman.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I just got home not an hour ago just to listen to the show after doing some shopping. And I came across this piece of news.
What's that?
It turns out that one of our favorite organizations, PETA, has nominated Daniel Bryan for PETA's Animals Friendliest Athlete. He's the fourth!
You nerd.
This would be a lot cooler to hear had PETA not made a big deal about Mario wearing the skin of a non-existent animal.
Good grief.
They thought
Thank
it was a raccoon.
Can PETA just go away now, please?
Sadly, no.
Oh, that's good.
Uh-huh.
Daniel Bryan doesn't even own a TV.
He doesn't
own a TV!
Now, I've got a crowded house in here. You realize there's 9 people in this room?
Wow.
Yeah, what was the last time that's happened on this program?
Never.
Never. Have we ever had 9 on the board?
Yeah, for a WrestleMania show.
Okay.
That's why I said that, yeah.
Was that all at once, though, or was that in a rotating panel?
I don't know. Well, one of the 9 is creating a lot of static in the background. Which one, I don't know.
Oh, I have a pretty good guess. Yeah. I hate to do this, but some of our Hour 1 people, could you please step away from the table?
Yeah, not a problem. I'll step back and I'll listen to the show still, but yeah, it was good to be on the time to show, guys, and good talking to you.
Shane is definitely an addition of the last 10 weeks. He's
Absolutely.
Awesome. He's a good
yes.
yes.
Thank you for joining our show.
Absolutely, Shane.
He already has line of the night from earlier. I'm telling you. Oh.
Yes, he does.
I hope that's been bookmarked. We're going to need that later.
I'll get it later.
Great talk. Great moments next week. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Can I? Let's see. Who have I got left here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I think Fordham's going to be going off here.
All right. Can I get 1 or 2 more people to step back?
Yeah, I'll get off.
Thank you.
So I really wanted to hear the Rob Jason thing live, but
you'll hear it on a 20-second delay or whatever it is on.
Or I can just mute you if you'd prefer.
Yeah, that works.
Okay, VRM.
Yeah, you're good people, VRM.
Yeah, just stick around, but your microphone will be off.
And you are not the father. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we can manage. A little bit. But now we've got to get on to the next big part of this show.
This is Seidelman versus Block 2 for charity's sake. 2 years ago, on the 100th episode of the North American Wrestling Connection, history was made. Rob Seidelman beat Jason Block in the ultimate test of wrestling knowledge. 3 weeks ago, the gauntlet was thrown, this time by Block, for a rematch. 1 week later, Seidelman accepted the challenge and promised to win again. Tonight, we'll find out if Jason Block can regain his wrestling trivia title, or if Rob Seidelman can once again beat the Block! Now, meet our host, Nikki Haven!
Thank you, gentlemen.
Nikki Haven. Yeah, okay.
Darn it.
Isn't it Nikki Effenhamen?
Yeah, it's Nikki Effenhamen.
Buy the shirt. Anyway,
buy them.
If they allow it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
What, did that order didn't go through either?
Well, what? No. Did you get it sent yet? Did it come to you?
No, I haven't. Well, I haven't seen it yet, but they did at least clean up the fact that they thought I double ordered.
Okay, so they did clean that up. Okay, good.
They did clean that up, and I got to check with Zazzle. I think they still have my money.
They shouldn't. They usually refund you on those things. So anyway, right. There we go.
Okay. Now, the rules are pretty much the same as last year. So, Seidelman, as the champion, would you like to reintroduce the rules to our view or to our listening audience?
Okay, it's a simple batch of rules. Nikki will introduce the subject for this round of questioning, and then whoever goes first, I think since Jason is the challenger, he will go first.
Okay.
He will ask for either a 1, 2, or 3 point question. If he is correct, then fine, he gets the points. However, if he is wrong, then I have a chance to steal the points, and vice versa. First to 10 points, like a Joker's Wild, in proper turn, wins. And according to the sanctions this time around, the winner is the kids.
Exactly. We're actually, because this is a very tough economy, as we know, and instead of actually being sort of selfish this year, we're actually going to the winner, the quote-unquote loser, will make a donation to the Make-A-Wish Foundation in the winner's name of $25 to the Make-A-Wish Foundation so that some wish can be fulfilled in some way this holiday season, whether it be meeting John Cena or getting a video game or something like that. So,
sorry.
You had to. You just had to.
You know what? That's all good. That's all good. So let's
Super Seda!
All right. So you want to get this thing on the road, Mr. Seidelman?
Yes, and by the way, Nikki, it's nice to know that you're wearing the same aviator sunglasses that Tom Kennedy wore during Break the Bank.
Well, you'll have to thank Adrenaline X for leaving me a pair. Anyway.
Yes, they probably stole them from Tom Kennedy himself, but go on.
I think they're Jack Berry's, but oh. Ooh.
No, Jack Berry took those with him to the grave, or Richard Klein stole them for Coke money.
Okay. On track, please.
Okay.
About the kids again.
Yes, exactly. So, again, Rob, I wish you the best of luck in this, and let's have a fair fight here, and let's have some fun. Okay?
Get it out!
All right.
Go ahead.
I will start with a 2-point question.
All right. Let's see. Just for fun, Jason, pick me a number between 1 and 16.
Oh, God. Number 9.
Number 9. Okay. You want a 2-point question. The topic is WWE's internet content.
Oh, boy. Okay.
2-point question. 2 non-wrestlers actually had a lot of fun with their internet show, since they didn't get much TV time short of pay-per-views.
Okay, what's the question?
Can you name this particular internet show?
Two non-wrestlers
who had an internet show,
mm-hmm.
and most of their TV time was on pay-per-view.
I'm going to... you know what? It's a little vague question, so I don't know. I really don't know. I'll pass to Rob.
Okay, Rob?
Bad choice, Jason. The host of this show were Carlos Cabrera and Hugo Seminovich. It is, I think the name of the show is 28 Segundos.
Very good. That's 2 points for
Wow,
Seidelman.
Very good. Very good.
So I will
Great
mark that
show,
question.
By the way.
Si, senor.
Fantastic show.
Yes. Their best
Sadly,
show still was
Hugo
in honor
no longer in WWE.
Yeah.
The Armando Estrada episode was the best.
I thought the best one was the tribute to the Spanish announce table. They had a Leave the Memories Alone style episode, including the night they lost two tables. Okay, now does this mean that Seidelman takes control of the board?
Okay, he takes control and he has and he's up 2-0.
Okay.
Like Jason, I will also go for 2.
Okay, give me a number between 1 and 16.
4.
4. Tag teams.
All right.
Eric Bischoff, during his time in WWE, had a very successful tag team in 3-Minute Warning.
Mm-hmm.
However, he wasn't their manager forever. For 2 points, who took his place?
I think Rico took his place.
Very good. That gets you 2 more points.
Okay. I got to get into this. I will take another 2-point question, and I will take number 5.
Okay. Number 5, referees.
Okay. Here we go again. Go ahead.
Okay. This WWE referee has had the honor and privilege due to the multi-year ban that they've had of not saying referee names on TV.
Repeat that again?
Okay. You know, over the last couple of years, they've been really sketchy about not saying referees' names on television.
Right.
Recently, one referee has had his name said on TV and at pay-per-view.
Oh, okay.
Who would that be?
Charles Robinson.
Very good. That's 2 points for you, Mr. Jason.
Okay.
Lil Nate. Woo.
Yeah, woo. Okay.
All right, I believe is it Seidelman's turn, or do you get to go again?
No. It's Seidelman's
turn,
and it's 4-2.
Okay.
I will take another 2, and I will go number 7.
Number 7. Okay, a broken story.
Oh.
We're talking about storylines that could have happened, but did not happen for whatever reasons.
Okay.
In 2005, a burgeoning rivalry between two musicians were separated by a draft. Who would be these two participants?
Two burgeoning musicians separated by a draft.
That's correct.
All right.
And Typho, you cannot run in on this.
Now I have to think.
Is anything happening?
Oh, wow.
Well, at least I'm not like fourth and thinking about putting baby oil over a bikini clad Super Oprah.
Okay, thank you.
Baby oil!
And thank you very much for getting that played a second time.
Yes.
We had to make up for a lot of lost time. I haven't heard that in a couple of months.
Right.
Clock is ticking.
I forgot we were on a timer. I'm pretty sure... was it Jericho? I forgot. Yeah, duh, Rob. Because he was on... Wasn't it John Cena and Christian? It was supposed to be a big rap battle.
You are incorrect. Jason, would you like to try this one?
It is Cena and Jericho, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was. It was Jericho and John Cena, because this was right after Battle of the Bands.
That's right.
Ooh. Turnabout Fair Play.
This one.
Oh, I'm sorry?
I said even I knew that one.
That's 4 to... What is it now? 6-6 or 4-4?
4-4.
4-4.
Okay. I'll take another 2-point question, and I'll take number 15.
Ooh.
Number 15. The title of this is You Are No Champion.
Yeah, okay.
This probably should be this should probably be a 3-pointer, but you don't worry, you got this, Jason.
Okay.
This former WCW and WWE superstar actually had a 30-second world title reign in WCW, a trick that was only recently repeated with Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler? Repeat that again, please.
Okay. This is a former WCW and WWE superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Who actually had a 30-second world heavyweight title reign.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Dolph Ziggler's brief world title reign.
Literally 30 seconds, right?
Literally. It still counted in the books. And was actually joked about for a long time afterwards.
I'm not going to say David Arquette, because that's not right.
No, because he actually held it for 3 weeks.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I really have no idea. I'm going to kick myself. I know this, but go ahead. Go ahead, Rob. Rob?
Okay. Because I got a couple. It's got to be during that crap time at 99-2000.
Mm-hmm.
A 30-second title reign?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I got it.
Okay, who was it?
Was it Chris Benoit?
No.
This was 24 hours.
It was less than 24 hours, and he forfeited the belt.
Who are you thinking of?
The answer is Chuck Palumbo. He actually had a 30-second title reign. I knew somebody who had actually had a Chuck Palumbo title watch during his first tenure in WWE to see if he would ever win it again.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. All right. So now Rob goes, and it's still 4-4.
Mm-hmm.
I'm anxious to go for... Let's do it. Let's go for a 3.
All right.
Number one.
Big money.
Okay. This is called Opportunity Lost. A number one contender this isn't about a number one contender. But the crowds in 2005 really dug a feud that erupted on highlight reel. It didn't involve Jericho, though. But unfortunately, due to contract issues with one of the participants, this feud was never visited and still hasn't been revisited. What was this feud?
God, the highlight reel from 05. And you said due to contract issues?
Due to contract issues.
God. Because I have a feeling Jason's going to know this one. And it hasn't been brought up since? And it hasn't happened since?
No, there hasn't been any... It hasn't been visited. It has not been revisited. It hasn't even been discussed.
And it all happened on the highlight reel.
One of the major confrontations was on the highlight reel. And the crowd was like, oh, we want this. Oh, we want this. The crowd was just crazy.
Please do it! Please!
Yeah!
Don't think this involves Cena at all. And if it is, it's probably him and Christian, and they haven't feuded since. No, but they fought since. I remember when he came out,
there was a nice pop and a huge one. But a match never happened.
So your answer?
Jake Roberts and Randy Orton.
Incorrect. Jason?
You are so around it. It is John Cena and Christian. They fought, but the feud was never mentioned at all, ever, if I'm not mistaken.
You are not mistaken, sir, and the fact that Christian's contract still was in negotiations at the time, and he wasn't interested, they never got around to getting him re-signed. He was in negotiations at the time, and then a draft happened. They moved Christian to SmackDown. It gave him his own talk show, and it was never really mentioned again. So,
yeah,
Jason.
And it still hasn't been.
No.
Mm.
So, three points to Jason.
But they have fought. They have fought many times, but the feud was never mentioned. The rap battle, you know, the whole thing. So it's 7-4, right?
That is correct.
And you mentioned it in the previous question, too, Rob. That just, oh.
That's a twist of the knife.
Let's put it away. 3 points for the win.
Oh, all here right. we go.
Oh, here we go.
In your number?
4.
Hmm.
3 point question number 4. Into tag teams.
Okay.
I spoke about 3 minute warning earlier.
Yes.
What exactly meant, what was the exact meaning of 3 minute warning? Where, what was the origin of that, and why did Bischoff use that name?
Oh, wow. Okay. If I remember this right, it was used against Lillian Garcia because she had 3 minutes to get out of the ring. To get out of the ring, and she didn't do it, and therefore she got squashed in one of the only times that she was put in a bodily physical situation.
Wrong.
Very wrong.
Okay, you have this, Rob?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rob.
I don't exactly remember the wrestlers, but they had 3 minutes to entertain the crowd and entertain Bischoff. When 3 minutes were up, Bischoff wasn't entertained, so he sent his heavies, Jamal and Rosie, out there and get the crowd entertained. There you have 3 minute warning.
I almost want to give you half points for that.
You can't, is it not enough?
No, it's, it is a answer, but it's not the answer I'm looking for.
Okay, so what is the answer you have?
Eric Bischoff derived it not only for the 3 minutes to entertain, but it actually came from a Monday Night Wars in-joke that Monday Nitro started 3 minutes before Raw.
Oh, son of a gun. Okay.
Wow.
I should still
there
get points, because storyline-wise, that's where it came from.
And to complete his point there, the wrestlers were D'Lo Brown and Sean Stasiak. Yes,
totally
I remember that.
If you were looking for the actual, if you were looking for storyline, Rob got it.
I was looking for the shoot reason, but I did not specify that. Would you be okay with me giving Rob a point anyway?
Give him the full 3 points because he gave the correct answer. He just didn't give the one you were looking for. It's
okay.
7-7.
Fair enough. 7-7, and I believe it.
And Rob's up.
Yes.
But if I'm not mistaken, if he gets a 3, I get a shot this time.
Nope.
Nope.
Because you went first, Jason.
Okay, because I went first. Okay, you're right. Okay.
So, Rob?
You were playing Joker's Wild Rule, and if I remember last time I played Joker's Wild, you lost.
Okay, so.
By the way, Josh wants a rematch. what the hell, let's go for it.
All right.
3 points. And let's go to the tail end, number 16.
All right. Number 16, WWE Elsewhere.
Okay.
Talking about appearances of WWE superstars on shows that are not WWE mandated. Saturday Night Live has had WWE wrestlers multiple times. However, one night they got a 5-for-1. Name all 5 of the wrestlers that were on that night.
Oh boy.
Okay. It was The Rock.
Okay.
Triple H.
Okay.
Big Show. Mick Foley. And even though he did wrestle, he is still counted as a wrestler, Mr. McMahon.
I don't believe Vince was the 5th person.
He's got 4. I know that much.
Vince is a wrestler. Vince did wrestle, though, around that time, so technically it is 5.
But was Vince on that Saturday Night Live? Because I don't remember him being among that
crowd.
He
wasn't in the crowd, but he was during the monologue. He was backstage with Lorne Michaels.
That is true. I saw the episode. I know which one he's talking about. He was with Lorne.
Whoops. Don't tell me I lost somebody.
I didn't know.
I'm still here.
Present.
Okay. Fourth?
I'm here.
Typho?
I'm here.
Brian?
Here.
Okay.
John Boy? Oh, wait a minute.
That's Carl, idiot.
Oh. One and the same, really, when you get right down to it.
Shazam!
Yeah! My man.
So is Black still here? Or no?
I'm right here, sure.
Yeah,
right,
he's...
Cool. I'm here. Absolutely, and I'm going to do it for my own local thing. There you go.
Very good. Listen, the ultimate thing about this segment is it didn't really matter who wins or loses. As you said from the top, the winners are the charity. Winners are the kids, and that's the ultimate win right there. So,
exactly.
You know what?
It matters who won and who lost, but that's just bias.
Right. And it was a back and forth competition. It was very competitive. And
exactly. And by the way, Nikki, the questions were excellent.
They were really good.
They were really fantastic.
I actually
nailed a couple of them in the back of my head, and I really am not good with wet trivia, as anybody will attest.
No comment.
Shut up, Carl.
yes, we all remember the BS challenge.
Don't remind me.
Little Ricky! Yeah.
Anyway.
Maybe one of the kids' wishes will be on this very show one day.
And if that's their wish, dear Lord, put them out of it. I'm kidding.
All right.
We're trying to gain sponsors, not lose them, Jim.
Exactly.
Well, they're non-profit, so we couldn't make a dollar off of it. So there you go.
Sorry, Rock.
Yes.
Never thought of a time where that sound bite would be even more appropriate than now.
Boots to asses. Here we go.
And by the way, the donation was just made to the Metro Make-A-Wish Foundation of Metro New York. So there you go.
All right. Well done.
All right.
Awesome.
You are the man, Jason. You are the man.
Hey, look. I'm not a welcher. And like I said, Rob's an awesome.
I know you're not.
And I just want to say it's awesome. So let's kick some crap into Room 101, shall we?
All right.
Yes, let's. And
all right.
Because it's my show, damn it, I'm starting.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
All right, does that mean I get to sit in my room 101 host chair again?
No. Oh, hi.
Nine.
Sorry.
Damn it.
Okay. But, Settlement, I will give you credit. You did give me this idea. Because you gave me a broad concept, but I decided to narrow it down.
Mm-hmm.
I am not throwing Jim Johnston into Room 101 because he does excellent music.
That's right.
Why would you, anyway?
No, yeah. I wouldn't. What,
that'd
I'm
be
throwing...
like throwing Richie Parks in there.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. What
not
I am throwing in...
Though.
Okay. I am going to... No, cut that out. What I am throwing in, though, is all but, like, one or two versions of the core theme.
Of the 73 different versions?
Right. The first one was amazing. Like, to me, it sounded like a British action series. Maybe it was just because of the Wade Barrett influence. But the fact that they changed it every other freaking week.
Just like the Rock's theme in 98, yeah.
Something like that. So
nothing and the days.
Yeah, the original version was awesome. I have I managed to scrounge up a copy of it. And I also have a mashup, thank you to Eric Minnesota or KFed Mashups, I forget which one of you guys did it, where they took the original core theme and then the Nexus theme and mangled them together.
I think it was KFed.
It was KFed?
I think it was, okay. Yeah.
I have that as part of my music rotation. The current version, the one that Wade comes out to, is okay. I've grown, you know, it's growing on me. But if he ever turns face, they better go back to that very first one. But the rest of them I want to get rid of. And I don't think anybody here is going to stop me.
Nope.
No.
No.
Go right ahead.
They are anyway, so go ahead.
It'd be playing in Radio Room 101 as we speak. Go ahead, Nikki. 3, 2, 1. Bowlinger!
Good riddance. All right, I'm going to go ahead and go down the string here. VRM, did you have something?
Did have dibs on something, but I rescinded my dibs when Rob told me immediately that it wasn't going to be put in.
I'd just be curious to what it was.
It was Jomo's send-off from this past Monday night.
And I think I told you no as well. Because it helped Miz to a point, but I'm still not really sold on him being a badass.
Mm.
And blame Brodus Clay for bragging about the fact that he was going to kill him, and that just wasn't going to happen.
Oh, I remember something.
Oh, yeah.
The question about putting something non-wrestling in Room 101. I forget, Rob, but we were mentioning this on BS Big Show a couple weeks ago, like. So I wanted to throw something in that I've completely forgotten what it was now, but it was non-wrestling, so it probably doesn't matter.
No, that's being only for BS Big Show purposes for their Room 101 when we debut it later on, but no.
That works.
What, do you host the show now?
Kick his ass, Carl. Kick his ass, Carl.
Wow.
It's like he's second in command or something. Wait a minute.
He is.
Kick his ass, Carl.
Oh.
You kick his ass, I'll sit on him. Oh, wait a minute. He might like that. Now.
No, Jimbo, I would die.
Yes, you would.
I think the only people would be...
I broke the guy's back doing that once. I'm just saying. Anyway,
you did?
Fourth grade. It was a class bully. And, you know, I was, like, depressed after... bummed out after gym class. I'm back at the fence... Like, a couple of guys, like, hold him down, and I just run up and sit on him, and I literally made him have to leave town and leave the state. He went to Texas. He had that back surgery.
Nice.
Oh, you gave him the earthquake?
Pretty much. And the principal even complimented me on that. I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
Never underestimate the power of a pig. Okay.
He broke his back, made him humble.
Humble. This is no good mother. Donald Watson was his name. Redheaded. He was the quintessential redheaded stepchild. Bastard. Yes.
Thanks for that story, Jen. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I was going to say, as someone who avoided a punch only to have the person throwing the punch break his hand, I'd like to shake yours one day.
You're quite welcome.
And thanks to that wonderful story, Jim, I'll let you go next.
Oh, thank you. I wish I could top that, but I can't. Okay, I need to get a ruling from you, Nikki. In regards to Michael Cole, how much of his persona have we thrown into Room 101?
Well, let's see. He's been thrown in. The door's been locked. He's been pony kicked at least once, and I've actually had a vote from somebody to give him a couple more pony kicks.
but look, isn't that sort of, well, to use the pun, beating a dead horse?
Oh, no,
you didn't.
Although I do have somebody who would be happy to do it over and over again just for the points.
How many points do I receive?
No, I wanted to be a little more
she
specific.
She gets 10 points, and that means, she beats Jason Block.
Oh!
She gets 11 and beats you, too. So
there you go.
Don't make me make an executive ruling, Rob.
Best pony. Now, so what I was going to say is the concept of Michael Cole's wrestling uniform.
Oh, no, we haven't thrown that in.
You can throw that in separately. I don't think I'm going to get any opposition.
I mean,
no.
Dear God, it's
like an orange hefty bag.
It's a comedy. It's what Taz would have wore if he got morbidly obese and turned like 75.
Isn't that what he's doing now in TNA?
Well, more or less. Not 75 yet.
But he's more entertaining
your
as a commentator than Cole.
I'll give him that.
My left testicle is a better commentator than Cole, but that doesn't
say... Is that your lucky left testicle, sir?
Is there such a thing?
At this point, I would say Joe Buck is a better commentator than Cole.
I think they're Buck buddies.
Throw it in.
Don't mind if I do. Unfortunately, I'm going to do it with tongs.
Can I go next?
Yes, Carl. In fact, you're high muckabuck. I'm not going to stop you.
Actually, I got to credit Rob for this.
All right.
Because he gave me the idea. I'm going to go with it. Let's go back to 2000 for a second. King of the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good card. You had matches like DX versus Dudley Boyz. We had Kurt Angle and Rikishi in the final match for the King of the Ring title. And then we have this. Pat Patterson versus Gerald Briscoe in a hardcore evening game for the hardcore title.
How is it we never managed to find this one for the room?
I don't think anybody wanted to look at it.
I think there's too many worse things.
Anyway, it was only 3 minutes long, and in the end, Crash Holly won the belt back after he pinned Patterson.
And Patterson laid down for him.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Patterson loved you forever.
Any single fellas.
Oh, jeez.
I'm hearing Jim Rock say that.
By the way, you want to know what's the interesting story? You want to know how that match came about?
Ow.
I don't know if I want to know, but go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. It was the night before King of the Ring, and the bookers for the show were Vince, Michael Hayes, and Brian Gewirtz.
Need one say more.
No, there's more. Because
okay. Hayes, is
Hayes and Gewirtz had one more match left, and they wanted to do Lita versus Trish, Braun Panties match.
Woo-hoo! That works.
There you go.
Yes, please.
However, Vince wanted to do something with the Stooges in a hardcore match. So, Michael said to Vince, "Okay, now do you want Trish, Lita, Braun Panties, or Briscoe, Patterson, Hardcore Battle Royal?" Vince looks at Michael and Brian and goes, "You're right." And they go, "Uh-oh. We're going to combine the two."
I'm conflicted. Does this just get thrown in the room, or do I have to pony kick it?
I vote pony.
That's a pony kick.
That's pony.
Oh, has to be.
Okay, yeah, because that is a horrible match, and...
Some of us do have standards.
That's great. That's a new one.
Friendship is magic, my friends. Friendship is magic.
And room 101 is magic, and we're going to keep the door closed.
Please.
Well, you got to open it just to close it then, you see.
Yes.
On that. Well, you know.
Yes, but like I said, just, you know, as Miss Rarity said, some of us do have standards, and it's going to have to stay in there.
There you go. All right, then, okay.
Okay. Any volunteers to who wants to go next?
I do.
I'll go.
Jason,
Brian, you go first.
Oh, okay.
Give me one
Brian.
Second, okay, guys?
Mm-hmm.
I'm coughing like mad right now, but I'll try to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had a lot of fun on this show making fun of Ian Rotten, and rightfully so. But I'd like to induct the second worst promoter of all time, one Rob Black. Many of you may not know who Mr. Black is. And
you're lucky.
And I want to know, are you happy in your little world? I'd like to visit. Rob Black is a former pornographer who created XPW in the 1990s. He more or less tried to create ECW version 2.0, and it wound up crashing about as much as EV 2.0 actually did.
Yeah.
Among his crimes were promoting the feeding of a chihuahua to his pet boa constrictor. And then once the animal control officers got a hold of him, he claimed the whole thing was a work. And then there was, of course, the fact that he had one of the Messiah's thumbs cut off because he wanted to move to a different promotion. The man
he wanted to move to CZW.
No.
You know it's rare when CZW is the preferred choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere
Matthew
is
laughing.
The promoter
didn't pay them in porn.
Yeah.
In CZW.
But the man is scum, and he deserves to have Miss Pie kick him into room 101.
I can arrange this. Where's the button? Thank you.
Forever!
Very nice.
I'm going to add to this, because there's more to the bullshit of XPW than you're letting on, Brian.
Oh, really?
Not only to paying his... it wasn't just porn, it was his homemade porn. So porn from his own company. And even then, it was simulated rape shit.
Oh.
And also, they would also allow him to, well, how do I put this nicely, shag his wife in lieu of payment.
The creatively named Lizzie Borden.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've got I've got an app for that.
Ah, good. I like that app. Is it available on the free market?
Yes.
Good.
Or worse comes to worse, you can just rip it off the site. So that's done, Jason.
I do, and in the words of Landstorm, I want to literally get serious for a moment. I want to throw in, and this is sort of a generality here, but hopefully if you want to focus me to get specific, I'm going to try and do it.
Okay.
It is the knee-jerk commentary and reaction of a lot of fandom today. I'll even use it, the overuse of the word buried. That is where I'm going to go with. Because what happens is that you have fans who, and we've talked about this on this show for specifically over the last 6 to 12 months, where people such as CM Punk or Zack Ryder or others, if they didn't get shot to the moon immediately, the word buried was used all the time. And it happens with every other wrestler now these days.
And in fact, I'll even pipe that in. There's a current thread on the fan boards claiming that Sheamus is buried just because he let Hornswoggle win the Battle Royal at the Holiday SmackDown.
Which actually finished a storyline that has been going on since, WrestleMania.
It was
Hornswoggle
just,
learning to talk.
Again. I remember when he could talk before, anyway.
Right, but what I'm saying is that commentary, or at least criticism within this specific fandom is going is just so bad these days. Does anyone? I mean, like I said, the overuse of the word "buried" is where I'm going here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean,
how exactly are we going to score this? What are we? We're just throwing the term in.
I would say you throw in the what's the term for those internet fans who love to use that word too often?
Number
three.
P3s, if you will, and yeah.
Yeah, let's just throw the number threes in.
Yeah, because I didn't want to get too general about it, but the number threes are just, they vacillate from week to week, and it drives you nuts when you read the fan board sometimes.
So what you're saying, Jason, is you want the number three to get thrown down number two style.
Yes.
I have some interesting number three stories from the one room I visit on Paltalk called XWR.
Okay.
After every pay-per-view, there are about 5 or 10 people that get on the mic and just go out and bitch about what they saw. How it was the worst thing ever, and how they'll never watch wrestling again, and how they always digress and say, we always say that, but of course we're going to be here tomorrow night.
And that's the biggest pet peeve that I have with the threes. And I think, Nikki, you're in agreement with this as well.
Mm-hmm.
They completely say, I'm not going to watch it again, and they're never a man or a woman of their word. They're always sitting on the couch next week watching Monday Night Raw or Thursday or watching Impact
or
Friday.
Yeah.
The password is hypocrite.
That's the word. They're hypocrites.
So,
and
yeah.
And if I could sort of add on real quick.
Sure.
What gets me about a lot of these people is their elitism.
Yeah.
And I know Carl doesn't like that word, but I'm going to use just the elitism.
Hey, how'd you know? Oh, hi.
But no, these are the people who, you know, they think that they're some sort of wrestling connoisseur because they own 46 Japanese wrestling DVDs.
Oh, that just makes them a freaking tool. Oh,
they think they're these experts because, you know, they occasionally throw around the word cell or blade.
Kayfabe.
Yeah.
Sorry,
they
we workers poo-poo all that. Anyway.
It's the fact that they feel, and, you know, if you want to see it combined into one person, just watch any of Spoonie's Wrestle videos. Because he is every number three rolled up into a ball. And
if we're going to go that route, I would like to condense Jason's thing even further. I want to induct Wrestle into Room 101.
No. I'm not going to condense it.
Not that far. The number threes I'm very interested in putting in, but to our live listeners, we are going to pick this up in archive, so sorry about this. We are going to keep going.
And thank you thank you for all your support for these 200 episodes to the live
Amen.
Listeners. Thank you.
That all off air, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I
didn't give enough leave.
That's right.
I didn't give him enough lead, but I think what we could do Wrestle as a separate induction. I would like. I'm very interested in throwing the number threes in, though.
Are the number threes the same kind of people that act almost as though Vince personally cut the cable on Owen?
Yes,
that's exactly what it means.
We're talking about the people. Go ahead.
I was going to say, as Bruce Willis said when he put the plastic explosives in the computer. Geronimo, motherfucker.
Great. Hey.
Thomas Jefferson, fucker.
Can we give them an atomic rain nuke?
I don't have the atomic rain nuke, but I do have a friend of hers that would be more than happy to sum it all up for all of us. Gilda?
When you decide not to be lame anymore, give me a call.
Right. Bang all up.
Put them all in a nice, tight little room with Heidenreich.
There you go.
Do their parents' basements count?
and make them watch Wrestlelicious on a loop for a while.
Yes!
Okay,
I was going to
Brian, you did that as I was swallowing my iced tea. Not a good move, man. Almost hit my laptop. Not a good idea.
I will buy you a new keyboard.
Okay. Typho, since you have been slighted, I think you're going to have to go next.
Yes, please.
This is fun.
Okay.
Thursdays is fun, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Since this is the 200th episode and all, this will be a nice little throwback to those who have followed along this journey, however many that might be, I don't know. But my pick to go into the room, and I'm sure everybody's going to disagree with me, but I have my reasons, would be Shelton Benjamin.
What?
My reason for this is because this show, in September of 2008, that bastard cost me a lot of pride. Because I picked him to win the WWE Championship Scramble at Unforgiven. I went out on a limb for Shelton Benjamin. And what did it get me?
He got you a Tuesday night show, and that's about it.
He got you whipping from his mama.
Robert Hugh Satterlin is the sexiest man alive. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so Shelton Benjamin, thanks for nothing.
Think about it. You share rare company with Artie Reynolds.
That ain't anything to be,
cracking. Oh, happy. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to say no, because Shelton Benjamin is actually one of the most successful tag team wrestlers out there, was a dependable worker. Just because he fucked you up doesn't mean he goes into room 101.
Bet you over and everything. That's right. I would veto it. Now, if you're going to go for his blonde hair where he's trying to look like Cisco 2.0, then you might have something.
Or if you want to say, Shelton Benjamin and his mama.
We can throw mama from the ring.
No.
No?
I will go to the grave saying no to that.
Because you know there's one mama who needs to be put in there quicker.
No.
Judy Bagwell, yes.
Judy Bagwell, I think I'm going to get a consensus on that one.
That will work.
Throw in Mama Benjamin just purely on the basis of the segment she did with Viscera at New Year's Revolution.
Oh, come on. That was funny.
Although I do have a really quick Judy Bagwell story, believe it or not.
Are you kidding?
No.
Well, kind of, sort of.
Go ahead, Brian.
Well, everyone here knows the story of the night where Hit 'Em with the Folding Chair was born.
Yes.
Before that match, Buff Bagwell worked a match.
Uh-oh.
And me and my dad tried in vain to start a chant, "We want Judy." And I was the only person in that entire arena who was saying that.
So you ultimately were the one kid who yelled Super Dragon in that instance.
Yeah, only I stopped after like three or four. I didn't just try to keep it going.
I would have paid money for you to keep going just so you could make it on Botchmania.
Oh,
I'm not paid good money.
Unfortunately, you'd also be paying his medical bills when Buff finally jumped the guardrail on him.
It's a good point.
But you know what, Typho? That made me laugh my ass off. That was beautiful.
Oh, my God. You got to laugh to keep from crying if you're a Typho after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. So who's left?
Let me take care of Judy Bagwell here. Ma'am, you're going to be doing some pole dancing tonight.
The damn Judy Bagwell in a forklift match.
Thank you, Nikki. I didn't want to go to sleep tonight.
this is a former world tag team champion we're talking about here. She's a prestigious company with any chaos.
I actually own a replica of that tag belt from 1999.
Is that a Judy Bagwell nameplate?
And by the way, just another thing. Fans who wear belts to wrestling shows, that just drives me nuts, too. Okay?
Okay.
That's a big beef. I can't throw that one into 101, although I personally would not do it just because I don't want to be keeping track of it for the whole damn show.
Yes.
And the fact that
I'll bring a toy belt with me. That's about it.
I wouldn't
love the guy that shows up with like 5 different versions of the world title on his arm.
I wouldn't bring one to Philly with me because I may not get out live with it.
After I've been to 2 shows where I've had basic stuff stolen from me, and and I just, you know, I've had enough of that.
If you want to throw in specific versions of fans, I mean, I've been to the Sportatorium back in the day. I mean, I could start running the list.
Oh, nice.
Hmm.
Vintage Sportatorium, yes.
Yes, world class.
But so who's left? Who hasn't thrown anything in tonight?
Forf hasn't gone.
Yeah, I was going to ask: is anything TNA post 2010 fair game?
Yes,
everything TNA post 2010 is fair game. After
Does
all,
everything TNA know this show
period.
Is on the air.
Everything TNA period is fair game, except for the stuff that's already in.
What did you have in mind, Mr. Forth?
The fact that they strapped a rocket to Garrett Bischoff's ass, for one thing.
That I'm going to say not yet, because that one's not done.
Right.
It hasn't lit up and exploded
and
killed yet.
But I will agree with you. Anything in the Bischoff-Hogan era of TNA is definitely... I mean, we've put TNA in there, haven't we?
TNA as a whole hasn't gone in.
We can't, because unfortunately fortunately they have had a couple of good years. We can't throw them in as a whole.
No, exactly.
And
That's
they do
true.
Have a few good workers who, you know, they're like the cream of the crop, and the rest of the crop is shit.
All right, since we mentioned TNA, how about this?
Mm-hmm.
Changing your biggest pay-per-view of the year, your WrestleMania, hours before the showtime because you don't think that the guy you've just pushed to the moon for this match can cut it. Bobby Roode being hot-shotted off of winning the world title hours before the show.
And then putting it on him on free TV the following week.
In a heel turn, which, by the way, has been executed very well, I might add.
Yeah.
Okay. The funny thing is that the turning of Bobby Roode has been really good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But just the whole scenario where they could have blown the roof off by executing this at the pay-per-view.
Not to mention they spent 2 months doing video packages of him to build fan interest, and then they turn him heel and then put the belt on.
And let's not forget that with this whole thing is that Angle was hurt. Was hit the hamstring, right? It was a hamstring?
Yeah,
he's still hurt, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, Angle was hurt. They didn't pull the trigger on the pay-per-view, yet the next night on the tapings, they do a 5-second match to give James Storm the belt to set up the...
Rather than use a pony, might I use the James Storm super kick to put this in?
Oh.
The hot-shotting of Roode.
Yeah, I think I can do that. I don't, let's see, do I have anything available for super kicking?
What are you looking at?
Well, you're better at it.
Then I'll just say it. Sorry. About your damn luck.
Oh, my goodness.
How about
the Bound for
really
Glory where
right
they had
now.
To change the whole card because of Kevin Nash's injury?
Yeah.
I think
what
it ended up
that?
With... I think it was 05. He was supposed to main event with Jarrett, and like the day of the show, it was either when he had the heart problem or he injured something, and they had to pull him. So they did the gauntlet match where Rhino won,
Rhino
ended up winning the title.
Yeah, when Rhino got the Rhino won the world title, that was Bound for Glory, wasn't it?
No.
Yeah, I think 05. I think he lost it back to Jarrett like a week later.
On Impact, no less.
So it was pretty much it was a very similar scenario.
It's just like they got there and they're like, well, we got to do something. Rhino was probably like the first guy that walked by, like, you, you're winning the title tonight.
Awesome.
There you go.
Do I get to go out for a cone afterwards?
Yeah, please. Or, you know, so who's left?
Me.
Okay, Rob, what do you got?
No, dear Lord.
Jim doesn't know what I'm going to, because Jim doesn't know where I'm going.
No, I don't. But knowing your sick, twisted mind, it's going to be, you're going to give us a good one here. Come on now.
Yeah.
Land of the Feud.
This is a kind of a serious one.
Okay.
It's midget wrestling after 1990.
Yes! I like this.
Go on.
Jason, I know you've gone to the Garden many times.
Yes.
And I remember once or twice or three times out of the year, you would probably see a match between the Haiti Kid, Little Beaver, Lord Littlebrook, Little Tokyo.
Something to that effect, yeah, but not often.
Not often, no. And those would often end up being good matches, and they were taken seriously.
Right.
You go to midget wrestling after 1990, where we had the Minis in WWF.
That was WWE, and you're talking about 05, 06.
No.
Mid-90s. Mid-90s. I know where he's going with this.
Okay.
Like Mini Vader and Mini Goldust.
They were called Super Astros in, like, 97.
There was a Max Mini. That was one of the characters, the big face character.
Okay.
The Italian, the big guy with the army helmet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
La Parquita.
He was like a giant midget.
Yeah. No. Was Evan Born Alive? Was Evan Born
Octagon
Alive back
Tito?
Then?
Stop that.
Shut up, Silent.
That's not right.
I'd throw my Rumbler figure at you, but that would only prove your point.
Yeah. And then you have in, like what Nikki was alluding to in 2005-2006, where we had the juniors division, and that was treated like the ultimate joke, where you had Super Porky wielding this massive, gigantic, Looney Tunes-sized pork chop that you would only see like in a Tasmanian Devil cartoon.
And he's the only one that anybody's ever going to remember out of all of those guys.
Yeah.
More or less.
And
the only thing they're going to be remembered for is getting scared by the boogeyman.
Like
one of them jumping into Teddy Long's arms.
And now, what's the thing? And now the only midget that's wrestling in the main, in either, you know, of the three major friends is Hornswoggle.
And
the ultimate joke.
On the list as well, because it really proves my point that midget wrestling has now become more of a joke than anything else.
Well, some of this I would almost blame on the midget parody stuff that's been going on since the late 90s. One of the biggest ways to diss your opponent is to bring out a midget version to beat up, like ENC did
DX,
with the midget.
DX the first one with that with the
Bret Hart.
How about the Rock and Booker T?
Little
the Rock and
Mini
T. Edge and Christian Mini Undertaker was funny. Mini Hardys. There was the Mini Dudleys and the Mini Hardys that ENC did,
well,
I think it was.
Here's the thing. I'm not counting those because those were just one spot and they were never brought up again and never wrestled.
They were for show.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying that that's something that's probably perpetuated the fact that nobody's going to take midget wrestling seriously. As you saw that the midget wrestling reality show, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Midget Championship Wrestling, Hulk Hogan's MCW. Yeah.
Not that one.
Half Pint Brawlers.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Even Half Pint Brawlers can't even bring it back to reasonable credibility.
Right.
And I will go back and... One of the biggest things was TNA in the early days.
Puppet, the psycho dwarf.
Tio winning the Dump Cup. Is that something you can keep throwing in as well?
Meatball.
Meatball. and the biggest offender, Puppet the Psycho Dwarf.
Yes, from WWA, World Wrestling All-Stars as well.
Yeah.
The owner of, and coincidentally, the owner of Half Pipe Brawlers.
Wow. Yeah.
Is he the one they had jacking off in the trash can?
Yeah. Dusty Rhodes was just joking about that.
No, it's true.
It happened.
And
I'll not alone, I'll throw it in.
No, I got one more moment that's worse than that.
Oh, really?
That's not possible.
Yes. All I got to mention is a gun.
Oh, yeah.
During... When in the early days of TNA, Jeff Jarrett was pissed off at the NWA officials for not giving him a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
So he said he was going to work his way from the bottom to the top. So he brought out this midget. It wasn't T.O. and it wasn't Meatball. It was another guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave him the stroke. Puppet came out pissed because he was upset that he was stealing his gimmick. So... I think it's time, so he said, I think it's time to bring you down to size, and he brandishes this 9mm and saying that I'm going to blow off your fucking kneecaps.
Oh.
TNA.
And the funny thing is that has not been the worst booking in TNA history by a long shot.
That is a sad thing, yes.
Give me a second while I get my head out of my hands.
Yeah, Matt Hart's wrestling in a hole there.
You got to recall, this is at the same time that they're promoting guys like the Johnsons.
No, this is after.
Was it after the Johnsons?
Yeah, this is after the Johnsons. This was when they were in the asylum.
This is all poopy to me. Oh, my God.
I was thinking the Johnsons were still around.
No, Johnsons were long gone. And Mortimer Plumtree, this is around the time Mortimer Plumtree was scouting the X Division, and he started getting a little...
He managed AJ Styles.
Yeah, AJ Styles. But exactly, and it was the last midget match for the longest time in TNA. It was the Dup Cup. It was T.O. versus the Dups, and one of the Dups being former WWE Tag Team Champion and country singer Trevor Murdoch.
Oh, yes, jacked up.
No, he was Bo Dup.
Oh, Bo Dup. Well,
yeah, he was Bo Dup.
Bo Dup. No.
And to win the match, Puppet came out of the porta potty and helped T.O. stick Stand Up's head in a porta potty, and it did have poop in it. And did and it
was,
right.
And
it all
that was
five points, circle.
Wasn't it?
So you can consider this a double induction.
That's like a quadruple induction the way you're going. Jeez, ew.
Just,
well, you're throwing the Dup Cup around. Let's throw the Hard 10 tournament in, too.
No, I haven't seen the Hard 10 tournament yet, so I can't comment.
Throw the Team Challenge Series in while you're at it.
No.
Although, whenever I think of that whole thing about the two midgets, T.O. and Puppet, I remember they wrestled a hardcore midget match on the WWA pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the WWE pay-per-view I threw in.
Yeah, the one from they had Disco Inferno sitting in on commentary.
Like Borash, oh God.
And they turned the commentary on live, so the audience in the arena could hear it.
I hate that. They did this once at AIW, it killed me.
Oh, and here's the worst thing. The other commentators were Jeremy Borash, who was serviceable and fine, and Mark fucking Madden.
Have we thrown him in yet?
Yeah. No, we haven't thrown Mark Madden's fat
ass
yet.
Oh, please.
Okay, first of all, Mark Madden gets pony kicked.
Yes, he does. Give me a second.
In the balls. Oh, wait, does he have any?
No,
but he does get the
shit. He could be thrown in alone just on the basis of the match he had with Mean Gene Okerlund.
But yes, Mark Madden gets to share a room with Michael Cole.
Some of us do have standards.
Yes.
That thing is, I remember watching that match live, the Mark Madden Mean Gene match.
I have that match on DVD.
I'm sorry.
All I remember was wishing that Mark Madden had a bigger shirt.
You're just insane, Rob. Just nuts.
Well, let's just put it this way. I had a joke in one of my role-playing groups that a picture of a shirtless Mark Madden would crash the entire internet.
Yeah.
And what did I give Nikki once in a tape? The first Bischoff Russo Nitro, where Tank Abbott rips off Mark Madden's shirt and beats the living daylights out of him.
I should throw you in for that.
Yeah. No.
After the whole fourth fiasco, I don't throw panelists in.
No.
It's going to take a lot of
time. Can't find your scissors.
Anyway.
But let me take care of Mark Madden first.
Yeah.
Now, the Mitchell thing, we need to narrow that down, Rob. You've got way too much stuff here.
He bounced up off the bottom. What the hell? Wow, Mark's... Okay, anyway.
And it looks like he swallowed Sidney Crosby, too. Ew.
Anyway,
and Cindy Margolis.
So you got to focus like I did. So you got to pick one midget thing.
Well, it's the entire thing in general, because let's face it, all of it's been shit.
Yeah, but I'd rather you narrow that down just a little bit.
Oh, God.
Pick something, and then we can, because the room continues to grow. We will have plenty of space for midgets.
Fine.
They don't take up that much space anyway, so, yeah. What? Anyway.
Then I'm going to have to
narrow a midget.
I've worked with a midget.
Yeah, they're fun people.
I'm not going to go there.
And they're very, very strong.
Stop that.
Or did you go there?
I didn't go anywhere.
All right. Narrow it down, Rob. Yeah, narrow it down.
Okay. I'm going to throw the entire puppet fiasco from TNA.
The gun part of it?
I think both qualify as one.
Okay. Yeah,
done.
the gun incident and the garbage can incident. That's
good
easy.
Answer. Good
done.
Answer.
Let's take care of that.
No, that gets pony. If it's okay if I hold you down against your will for a little bit? Ew!
Pony puppet porno. That's
gross.
You just described the Friday night lineup on
Cinemax. I don't think Fluttershy was the right choice of sound for that one.
Yes, Fluttershy was not
pony
for that one.
No, but Minds in the Gutters makes it all complete, so thank you, gentlemen.
I think half the Minds in the Gutter have made this show nightmare-inducing.
But a wonderful nightmare for almost 4.5 years, over 4.5 years now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's been 4.5 years.
So did we get everybody?
Yeah.
Brian, did you throw something? Yeah, you threw something.
Yeah, he did. We all did.
That dude and Rob Black.
Yeah, that's right. And if we would like to do one last group one, because I promised somebody a couple of months ago to do that, you reminded me, Brian. Since we threw in the number two worst promoter of all time in Rob Black.
I thought we did throw in Ian Rotten.
Did we throw Ian Rotten in already?
I believe we did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, but why not for old time's sake?
I got an idea. How about the number three worst promoter?
Vince Russo?
No, we already threw him in. I got a worse one than Russo.
No, it's taken care of, man. Don't worry about it. Save it for another time.
Okay.
So, but gentlemen, 200 shows. Who thought this? I couldn't even tell. If you'd asked me 2 years ago if we were actually going to make it to 200, I'd have been scratching my head saying, I don't know.
I can't count higher than three, so this is amazing to me.
You'd make a good ref, though.
No, you haven't seen me hit the mat. It's not a pretty sight.
No, he would, because he can't count up to 10.
No, but I think Nikki wants to get a little serious for a second. So let
no, seriously, it. You know, I just, you know, we've had a lot of fun on the show. We've had a lot of ups and downs. We've had, you know, a lot of nonsense. And, you know, we've made our way through the show, through good and bad, you know, sometimes just through a little bit of foul language.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Yeah. Admittance is the first step.
And yep. Plenty of those,
exactly.
Especially unneeded ones, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And every now and again, a little bit of intimidation.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Yes.
But, you know, just about everybody here has been on the show at least a year. Brian, no offense, I honestly do not know how long you have been working with us.
I started in March. I was on the WrestleMania preview.
Okay.
Because I brought him in when somebody canceled, I think.
That might have been the whole Andy Stern fiasco, who Andy politely bowed out of NAWC altogether because he knew he was having trouble committing. So
that was mutual. That's fine. Yeah.
Well, no, it was fine. I approve of his personal dismissal.
Yes.
But overall, I think we've done a hell of a job with the shows, and I can't do this alone. Lord knows I can't do this alone. Yeah, I can blather for an hour and a half, but it's more fun when I have somebody else here blathering with me.
I also just want to just give a specific personal shout out to Mr. Jim Williams, who's opens every week and are some of the most hilarious but professional sound quality. You make the show, Jim. Thank you very much for all the stuff that you do for the show. No joke.
Thank you.
And the fact that we've been doing this for 4.5 years, and the fact is the business has changed. I mean, who would think that we would go through the death of one of the most popular wrestlers in history, in Chris Benoit, the fact that we're going to have a potential WWE network in 2012, the whole Jeff Hardy. I mean, we have seen some incredible ups and downs in this industry, and it's going to continue, and I hope...
Yeah.
That we will be here for 200 more.
We survived the Mike Adamly era.
hey, some of us think the Mike Adamly era was one of the greatest eras in the history of this company. No, what? Wait a minute. What? No.
Unfortunately, the fan disagreed since they made it a gooker.
Unlike Michael Cole, at least Adamly put people over.
Yes.
Oh!
Adamly's original, baby.
By the way, for Typho, he also created the scramble, so...
To which Typho says, I knew I never liked him in American Gladiators.
Well, guys, I'd like to say a few words.
Please.
I've been doing this show now almost 8 months, off and on, and I promised myself when I... thought all this up, I wouldn't get emotional, but I might. This show has changed my life in ways that a lot of people don't understand. When we get on and we do this show, we create a bit of fellowship that you don't see in the world, that I don't see all the time. You guys have let me into this family on a whim. And, you know, for the grace of God and a folding chair, I've made something special out of it. And, wow.
Just go ahead and do it. I love you guys.
It's okay.
Brew Pug.
Yes.
No, but I
mean, Jason, don't touch my ass again. Stop it.
You are ruining a sentimental moment here.
All right, I'm sorry.
You see what I have to deal with your people? Here. Come on.
Yes.
Isn't that what we do best?
Yeah,
exactly.
But come on, Brian. Go ahead. Seriously.
Go ahead, Brian. Yeah.
But, in all seriousness, you guys don't know how much I love doing this show. And now, you know, I have a T-shirt that people can buy that has a phrase I came up with on it.
If you Richard will let me sell the damn thing, yes.
But seriously, I mean, you know, if you had said that to me a year ago, I'd have laughed your head off. Because, you know, I lived a very sheltered life. I didn't get out much, didn't talk to a lot of people. I've made so many wonderful friends. Real people friends. You know, Nikki, Jim, Carl, Jason Block, whom I've admired ever since I saw him on Millionaire. All you guys have really brought a lot of positive energy to me. And I'm just very grateful you guys have let me be a part of this show. And I hope it can continue for many, many years to come. But I just want to say thank you to all of you. And one thank you, when they hear it on archives, to all you folks out there who listen to us every week. You're the reason we do this every week. And if you guys enjoy it, that makes it all worth it. And so thank you from the very bottom of my heart. I can't say enough how much I love doing this. Thank all of you.
Touché.
Amen.
Touché.
And also, first of all, to the two guys who actually started this, Mr. Chenier and Mr. Seidelman, without you, this would not have even been here.
Here, here.
At this point.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Now, you guys, you know, Rob, you gave me the opportunity to take over this show back in 2010, and I'm hoping that I've brought the show up a notch. One thing I do appreciate about this show is that we're not like a lot of other shows. We don't do recaps. We don't sit and snark on everything. We give our righteous indignation when something genuinely sucks. Mm-hmm. But we don't sit there and kill, you know, we don't sit there and put our thumbs down on every show. Granted, I'm horrible about this when it comes to TNA, but some of that they brought upon themselves.
Exactly.
But I like that. This is something that you don't hear a lot. I went to look up a recap tonight. In fact, I went to WrestleChat, cheap plug, and I went and looked at TST's review from the November 21st edition of Raw. I had to wipe my screen from all of the vitriol that oozed out of this recap. I was almost offended. I cannot believe that this person is taking the time to write all of this righteous indignation and outright hate of a show. If you hate it that much, God damn it, stop watching.
Amen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, I say this to all the fans, including the number threes, who might not be able to hear me now that they're inside room 101.
Hold on. Will you keep it down there? We're trying to do a radio show.
But it's very simple. If you don't like it, you have every right to that opinion. I'm not saying you have to be, you know, you have to be all showery flowers and ponies on it. But if you hate it week after week, month after month, year after year, your fandom needs to be evaluated.
That's why they created a remote. You change the channel to something you actually don't have to, you know, be stressed over.
It's why that the fall exists for football and not wrestling.
And, oh, by the way, you also have this wonderful device called the Internet, so you can go watch the stuff that you claim is better than what's on right now. So go look for that. Maestro Stro channel. Go look at that. He's running all the old crap.
Can't do Stro anymore.
Stro closed down?
He got TOS'd by the Fed.
Ooh.
So, yeah, that happened like several months ago, didn't it?
No, it happened just last week.
Okay, I missed out on it. I knew about it, and, you know, I'm sorry to hear about that, Stro. You know, that sucks because, you know, like I said, this would have gotten all those people that keep saying that the Attitude Era was better and the Monday Night Wars were better because of this, that, and the other thing. They could go watch that, and that way they could leave the current product alone.
So I'm going to do a quick plug, if I may, for the old stuff.
All right.
Go to xwtclassics.net. That's xwt-classics.net. It's a torrent site. It's free to register. All of the old stuff is there. Everything from the dawn of time till like the end of 1995. So you have your Ric Flairs. You have your old school ECWs. You have your Superstars and Wrestling Challenges with jobbers like Red Tyler and Reno Riggins and Iron Mike Sharp. You actually can also see what Brian's favorite matches of all time, Terry Funk, Ric Flair, the I Quit match.
Yes.
So, with that, Carl, did you have anything? Did you want to add anything to this nonsense?
Not really.
Can't say I blame him.
Yeah, really. I mean,
Stifle?
Yeah, I'll say that from this show and the many other shows I've contributed to, my own included, of course, it's an honor to be in elite company by being able to say I'm one of the few other people that have ever hosted this show.
And
y'all
thank
remember
you
that,
for that,
that one
favorite.
That one week, the good week, but
hey.
I love being a part of the show, and I hope I'm part of it for a long time to come, and I enjoy being here with all you guys.
And I appreciate that you put up with us digging on Wrestlicious, and we don't mean it. You know that.
I do.
Well, some of us
sure.
Yeah, I know VRM does.
it's poopy. I actually sat through God knows how many episodes when they aired here in Philadelphia last year. So, yeah, I want those 30-minute segments of my life back. So, no, but the consensus that everybody's saying, my sentiments are echoed too. I mean, I've been a part of the show now for just over half its run doing the opens. Rob gave me the idea to do the opens 2.5 years ago, I guess it's been, and you know, it keeps my production skills sharp and. Hopefully that serves me well in some way, shape, or form. But to be a part of this community, to be a part of this closely knit fellowship, as Brian so eloquently alluded to, it's something I don't take lightly. And as mentioned before, it's the people who are listening on the other end, the people who click through WrestleChat.net. And Brecklin Daniel, one of my best friends, can't thank him enough for promoting us for the last almost year now, I guess it's been.
Yes, thank you to WrestleChat as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Brett's good people, John sure. Regis as well. That's exactly what the show's about. It's not about us. We're not high, righteous, and mightier than thou art. Although sometimes I... No, we're not.
Well,
we're not.
I mean, no. You can, if you want to keep going, there's plenty of superlatives you can throw my way.
No, I don't mean... I was being facetious. No. We do this show. We do this show for the fans. We like to think of us... this program is a little bit different than all the other wrestling shows, like Nikki said. And you know what? 200 shows down, and I have a feeling, if I'm a betting man, and no, I haven't been influenced by Rob O'Connor, by the way, that the best is yet to come for this show in the weeks, months, and, Lord willing, years to come. So happy 200. Let's keep it going, guys. And gals.
Amen.
Amen.
Worth anything to add that's not going to get you in trouble?
Well, kind of. I'm just going to say happy 200 to Nikki, Jason, Brian, Jim, Josh, Typho. Rob, you're alive. Ain't that something?
Oh, goodness.
That's almost as... That reminds me of the stunt you pulled on that one episode where you came in, cursed off Robin, and were never heard from again for a while.
Those are good times, aren't they?
Leave the memories alone.
And much like...
Here I am with my thoughts of you.
And much like the guy that leaves the memories alone is used for, I decided to end retirement for no good reason.
But gentlemen, it has been a pleasure. It has been an honor. You know I can't do it without you guys, and all that other sentimental stuff like that. There.
I know. No Heyman can be sentimental for too long.
Well,
no.
Exactly.
All right. Good check.
The last Heyman that was sentimental thought he was being smoking a J with RPD.
And unfortunately, I can't even use that excuse.
No, exactly.
No.
And it's a good thing you don't.
Because you're too straight edge, and that's a good thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you very much. So, gentlemen, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this up now, because I think Carl is about passed out in his chair.
Yeah, just give him a couple of Jägermeisters. He'll be fine.
Are we still on? Oh, hi.
Well, I just figured you were just dozing off and not even paying attention.
Can't hear you.
I'm here.
Oh, I'm asleep. Phew.
Oh, jeez. That's the way it sent me off the
little,
show.
Little known fact, that's actually how Carl snores.
Wait, how would you know that, Williams?
Listen, Carl, I've heard you snore when I go on long diatribes, so trust me on that. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I gotta go, guys. I'm powerful late for something.
No. I know you hear your laundry calling, so I'll let you go. Actually, I'm gonna get I think I'm gonna get everybody out of here so that Carl can get some sleep. And I know everybody else has got absolutely nothing to do tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
You know, just
watch
just,
football,
you know.
SEC championship game.
I'm going to be seeing my little nephew in the Fountain City Christmas parade tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to do some Christmas shopping with the family. So
that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
No, I will, and after you know, and again, I will say this out loud. Nikki, it has been an honor and a privilege to work with you. Okay.
Yes.
The thing is, Nikki and I talk every day about wrestling. It's like a co-producer sort of thing, and it's just like, it's insane. Because it's just like, okay, what wrestling news do I talk about today? It's like I'm searching the thing, and when there's breaking news, I'm like, oh my God, I have to call Nikki. It's the first thing I have to do. It's nuts. And you'll do the same thing to me. You'll text me.
Well, yeah. If I find if something big hits because I happen to be sneaking around on the fan site when work is down, which didn't happen this week. Of all freaking days. Anyway.
Yeah, right.
the one Friday I was expecting to be out on time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, work picked up just a little bit.
Yeah, well.
I was 45 minutes late out the door. But that's okay. They paid me for every minute of it. So just
damn
for that.
Right.
Better.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen.
I should have never got you to record that. Oh, I tell you.
Just because I can crack you up every time you hear.
And by the way, Trista, if you are listening, we miss you. Get back there soon.
Yes, call me. Oh, wait a minute. No.
We got to find a way to get her on the show more. It's just she can't afford the calls right now.
Oh, yeah. She can't Skype?
I don't ask me.
I mean, if push comes to shove, I mean, what I use more often when I do the things on here, they have a plan 3 months for like $9. So,
well, this counts as a free call for me, so...
Well, I mean, if you Skype to Skype, yeah, but you can, you know, click to call the phone.
Yeah, which is something I'm considering down the line just because my phone reception in the apartment's so bad.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this show's still going to run no matter who likes who and vice versa.
Yes.
So, gentlemen, we are going to do this again, and we're going to keep on doing this. As we heard, we had an open... Super Oprah wants to be back on the show at some point. I can arrange that.
Super Oprah!
Yes. Oh, thank you.
And, Carl, quick question before we go.
Yes?
End of the year show. What Friday am I looking at?
You're looking at the 30th.
All right. I will endeavor, I don't know if I'll get Super Oprah back on that quickly, but I might have somebody else lined up already.
Ooh.
And since this will be kept, I ain't saying. So tune in next time, ladies and gentlemen.
Do a what?
So... This is going to do it for the North American Wrestling Connection. So mercifully, Carl, it is over. As he just walks away.
No.
I think he just fell asleep and fell over.
He mutters as he falls over in his LSU Snuggie.
Aww.
Aww.
I want pictures of that. Okay. Gentlemen.
Paint flippers.
That's
good
so clashing. That just clashes so poorly.
And my goodness.
All right. Gentlemen, everybody, go home. Go to bed.
You got it.
We'll
good night, everybody.
So, good night, all, and here's to another 200.
Amen.
Thanks, Nikki.
Later.
Thanks, all. Night.
Thank you.
Night,
folks.
Good night.
You've been listening to a special presentation of the CLW 83 Network.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.